Welcome to one of our stranger after sessions for Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. This is our May 4th edition. And for those who are not Star Wars fans, the phrase is May the 4th be with you. And tomorrow is...
Yay! I'm giving him like extra poofy hair now.
This is our new mascot. This is, you'll have to name it at some point. Until then, I'm still calling it Valpaca. Which I still think is hilarious, by the way.
I'll come on, like Jimmy or Jerry or something silly like that. It'll be a very generic and dumb name. That's what it'll be.
For those who had not known, I made Val's alpaca a little matching Queen Amidala outfit to go with her Alcon outfit, just so they'd match. And you'll see them. You'll see them both at Alcon, or not Alcon, Akon.
Akon, yeah. This is totally coming to Akon with me. You kidding me? As he flops back over. He's very top-heavy now, so he just kind of flips over.
I couldn't help that unless I was going to sink, like, fishing weights into the bottom of the vest. Which I didn't really want to do, because that's literally a pain to do.
Yeah, at this point, it's fine. He'll just chill. Yeah.
And I do have my little Leia buns back here in honor, because I don't actually have any Star Wars outfits. I'm not as hardcore of a fan as Val is, so...
I say I'm rocking the t-shirt too. Yay, kitty. I have no idea where my kitty trooper shirt is. I'm kind of disappointed. It's hiding somewhere. I got to find it.
And I have seen a lot of people on Facebook, you know, doing the Star Wars memes. I know there's been a meme going around where it's, how big of a Star Wars fan are you? Here are 23 questions that only a true fan would know, which are, of course, subjective.
Oh,
nobody can really define a true fan. It's like, you sit there, you take the meme, and I was like, well, I got 18 out of 23.
That's actually really nice.
That's actually a passing grade, considering I am not a real fan and I have not seen the films in literally several years. It's like, oh, okay. Not bad. I guess that does make me a fan.
Whereas I will watch them whenever I get a chance. And I've already made a post on my Facebook saying, Spike TV, you people are idiots. Why are you not taking advantage of this day? This is the perfect time for a Star Wars marathon. Oh, right, you're the dumb butts who made the Video Game Awards. Never mind. Yeah.
I was actually really surprised, and I'm still really surprised, that retailers have not taken advantage of this to push Star Wars merchandise in their toy section and drive people into their stores.
Now, I know they were big on it last year because May the 4th also landed on Free Comic Book Day, so a lot of comic book shops kind of just lumped it all together and they were able to do discounts and stuff like that. But for online stuff, I'm not really finding anything. For TV stuff, Discovery Channel had like an hour thing about the science of Star Wars, and then they have their Mythbusters thing this evening, but that's about it. So it's kind of like, sad face. It's just an internet thing only.
And only for the fans.
Yeah, it needs to be more than that. There's so many of us, and especially this past week being as busy as it has been for Star Wars crap, it's like, embrace it, people. It's okay.
In fact, I know a lot of the drive-in movie theaters, not necessarily drive-in, but dine-in also, they could be running, you know, Star Wars Day. Because, I mean, you can have all of your other things, but you could have a theater dedicated to it so that fans could just go in and marathon the movie since television's not doing it. I mean, just charge like $2 or $3 for admission. We pay it because you get the theater experience with the huge screen and the surround sound now. And then people will buy food.
That would be tricky. Now that Disney owns it, Disney tends to be kind of finicky about releasing things back into theaters. Which is probably also why Spike TV isn't showing Star Wars Marathon like it's supposed to, because they probably have to rewrite contracts and whatnot.
I would think so, but I think if they did this with the future in mind, with a planning basis that this will happen every year. Especially since they have May 5th, which is apparently Revenge of the 5th.
Or Cinco de Mayo.
Revenge of the Sith, for those who don't get it.
Woo!
They could, you know, make a little extra money. They could tie it in with the release of the new movies, which we will get to. And they could get a new generation into it. Because there are, sadly, people on this earth currently living who do not know what Star Wars is.
Yes, this is very true.
And it could introduce the next generation to the goodness that is Star Wars without having them start with trilogy 1, 2, 3 instead of 4, 5, 6. Which I think is pretty widely acknowledged that you should start with the original first. 4, 5, 6, not 1, 2, 3.
Actually, this is what I want to do, and I've gotten this, I haven't been able to get approval on this yet, but it's already been patented as my idea and my idea only, so nobody else can take it. What I would like to do is a study on those who've never seen the movies, but then have a group go from 1 to 6, and have a group do 4 through 6, 1 to 3, and then examine the psychological responses because of it. Because our experiences from 4 to 6, 1 to 3, it's vastly different from a kid watching it 1 through 6. They have a different interpretation, I mean, of Anakin and Luke Skywalker compared to how we view them. So,
and it's also different if they've read the series, if they've had any experience with any of the media, because Star Wars has other media besides movies.
And that's the tough part, is that even those who've never seen Star Wars, they know what it is. They know some of, like, the iconic figures.
They'll have cultural reference.
Exactly. So it's hard to find somebody who does not know squat about Star Wars. And I think that's going to be the tricky part, and that's probably one of the reasons why I don't want to do my research, is getting somebody who hasn't seen or does not know a single thing about it is dang impossible.
Well, the media is not really helping, especially with the new casting coming out. They basically shut down parts of the internet.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
On that day. Literally. You could not get to some websites after seeing that they made, J.J. Abrams made this casting announcement saying, all the original people are going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Although I noticed there were some that they did not announce.
There was no Lando.
Thank you. That was the number one in my mind that they did not announce was coming back.
It got another and guy.
Dancing with the Stars may be part of that. I mean, the guy's getting kind of old. To be real.
He's so awesome. They're
a lot of these guys are getting old. And so
Peter Mayhew's had a couple of hip surgeries, so
I would not blame them for saying no simply due to the physicality of the movie. You can only do so much with a stunt double.
Mm. Except Anthony Daniels. Anthony Daniels looks basically the same as he did 20 years ago. He's looking fantastic.
True, and, you know, he's also, like, not seen on screen.
He is. Not as himself, no, but he is on screen.
I mean, you don't see him as himself, so you wouldn't see that sort of thing, just like you wouldn't see Peter Mayhew as himself on screen.
Right, right.
They're all in suits, or off-screen doing voiceovers.
Sure.
So I could understand that, but if you're on screen and doing stuff, yeah, I'd probably think real hard about it. Because you know filming's going to go for a year.
Oh, easily. Even if there are just bit parts, and they're only there for maybe 2 weeks out of the entire session, it's still...
And it's not like they're not doing anything else during that time either.
Right.
Still got to make money to pay the bills, so they still have to take on other projects. And I'm sure they'll be, during filming, they'll be making press runs, and then they'll be bound not to have spoilers when they talk to them.
As per usual. Per usual. I'm sure things will slip out, because now we're in this age where it's so much easier to get information compared to even 5 years ago. So I would not be surprised if lots of spoilers came out early.
They made a point about that on CNN, because CNN posted the casting update too.
Mm-hmm.
They posted their own article, and then they linked to the other sites.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to worry about getting the crash, because CNN basically doesn't crash. They have more bandwidth than anybody could ever need, except maybe the government. And they were like, well, you know, we wonder about the timing of why J.J. Abrams released it at this time. And it's like, well, you know, realistically, he probably wanted to prevent a leak. Because given if somebody knows this and they know that they're sitting on a gold mine that's going to make the internet explode, and the internet nowadays, page hits are money.
Mm-hmm.
If you get eyes on your website, then you run ads to get money, because of those eyes on your website.
Right.
So you're sitting on a gold mine. Why wouldn't you release that information? I mean, yes, you run the risk of having them contact you in a very legal sort of fashion. But then again, it's not like you've signed a non-disclosure agreement to say nothing. Unless you have, in which case,
unless
yes, that lawyer has a right to go after you. But if you haven't, who wouldn't release that information to the public just to get page views and to start all the little controversies that go around the internet?
Yeah, of course, of course. And that's exactly what I said. Everyone was like, well, why didn't he wait till today to do it? And I was like, it's probably because he knew, or somebody knew, that the instant that this was all happening, it was going to be on the internet. May as well be the ones to release it themselves instead of having all these third-party stories coming out, trying to make ungodly amount of money for nothing.
Yep, and then you get all the credit for having released it, too.
Exactly.
Which makes you infamous on the internet.
Mm-hmm. May as well just be Disney themselves.
So, getting a little bit further into the casting, since we've gone there.
Mm-hmm.
We have all the original people, with the exception of Lando, which I'm betting Billy Dee will probably not be back.
Or he could show up for a 5-second cameo and off the screen.
He may get a cameo, but I'm thinking it's not like the big three, as they say.
Yeah.
Or the big six. Sure. I'm a little curious because they are playing themselves. It has been said they are playing their same characters.
Mm-hmm.
Which means their characters will have aged in the series as well as in real life. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense. You can only do so much with makeup.
They've already said that it's guaranteed that it's going to be 30 years after Return of the Jedi.
Right. And since we have all of this canonic and non-canonic media detailing what their characters have done in the future, I'm curious how much of that they will actually include into the movie, or if they're going to go off in their own canonic direction that basically overwrites everything else that's already been said.
I can already answer that for you, since they released not more than a week and a half ago that basically the entire expanded universe is no longer canon. So it's basically the only things that are considered Star Wars now, according to Disney, the jerk faces, is the six movies, the Clone Wars movie, and then the Clone Wars television show. That's it. So whatever they're making for the 7th, 8th, and 9th movies is going to be completely brand new stuff. Any of that stories that went on in between, the graphic novels, the video games, the books, whatever, those are right now considered no longer canon, and they're not going to be pulling any inspiration from those pieces. Which sucks major donkey balls. Because here's my whole thing, and I'm really peeved off about the canon stuff right now. For those of us who've always wanted to be involved in the Star Wars thing, we kind of went through our other outlets. We did our novels, we did comic books. I mean, I know people who used to work for LucasArts before Disney dissolved them and whatnot. So they were able to contribute to the Star Wars legacy without actually being with the Star Wars movies. And a number of those pieces actually went through Lucasfilm and they got the seal of approval saying, hey, yes, you're considered canon.
This is okay.
This is great. That's awesome. You use the Star Wars name and we got it officially licensed by Lucasfilm. Cool. Now that those are gone, it's like all of that material for the past 30 years is just completely vanished. It's like all of that hard work, and I finally contributed to the Star Wars legacy, and now it's not Star Wars anymore? What's this supposed to mean? What's going on here? And a friend of mine, Steven, who used to work for LucasArts, he is uber, uber pissed off right now because he contributed a lot of stuff to the Star Wars legacy, and now it's no longer canon. And he's like, well, it's still Star Wars, but it's not Star Wars. What's up with this? This makes no sense.
I don't know if they're doing it for commercial reasons or for other reasons, since LucasArts did sign off on those now non-canon media.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a second. The writer of the originals says this is canon.
He says it's okay. Why is it now
therefore,
not okay?
It should be okay unless you're going to disregard his own seal of approval,
mm-hmm.
which I can only imagine would be done for commercial reasons or for making the story fit reasons, which then again, I mean, if the fans can make the story fit, professional director writers should be able to make it fit, right?
Exactly. And I don't know. It's backwards right now. I'm not too happy with what Disney is doing. And it seems silly to me because Disney is very protective of their brand name. I mean, what was it, maybe 6 years ago when China was trying to open up a theme park that kind of had a Disney Mickey Mouse-like character in it, and Disney immediately went in, slammed them, shut them down. No, this is not happening. They're very protective of their brand name. So it was kind of a shock when they started dissolving LucasArts and they wanted to sell the properties for certain Star Wars stuff. I was like, whoa, wait, wait, wait. you guys usually do the opposite. You usually keep things within the family. You don't spread it out to other people. What the heck is going on here? So a part of me is surprised that they're doing this, but the other part of me is like, well, they already tore apart LucasArts. It almost seemed like it was a matter of time that it was going to happen. So it's just depressing.
Yeah, you may want to monitor the comments because I don't see any questions coming in. If you guys are watching us live for our Star Wars-themed after session, you can actually communicate with us through the Q&A app in YouTube as I'm monitoring the questions and answers app. And then you can also leave comments to talk with us as well.
See, I see nothing yet.
Okay. So just putting it out there, you guys actually can interact with us during this. It isn't just two heads talking. So if you have feelings on this, let us know. You know, we're happy to talk about it.
Yeah. So now that I'm still on this train of thought, yay. So here's the issue with the non-canon thing. It's massively affecting the Rebel Allegiance and the 501st. Because here's the thing, those two, while they're not directly in relationship to Lucasfilm or with Disney or whatsoever, they're outside costuming groups. A lot of them, their focus is on canon costumes within the Star Wars universe. Yeah.
Trying to be accurate.
Exactly. So they do everything from the movies, and they've actually expanded out to the ones who've been classified as canon with the graphic novels and the video games and whatnot. And now it's like, okay, those characters are now no longer canon. Fudge?
For those who don't know, the 501st and the Legions and whatnot, they have literal costume standards. Like, you must make it out of this material. It must have these measurements. Mm-hmm. You must include these accessories. I mean, they are so very strict about what can be considered an allowable costume that gets their stamp of approval, kind of, you know, it's a LucasArts kind of thing.
Yep. Exactly.
So they're very, very formal about it. And they also tell you which costumes you're allowed to include. And now that list just...
Yeah, that list has drastically vanished. It's ridiculous now. I don't know what they plan to do with it or what they want to do with it. For those who have non-canon characters now, there are other costuming groups. The Sith Empire and then the Mandalorians don't have strict canon rules like the 501st and the Rebels. But for those of us who want to be a part of that group now, it's like our costume list has completely vanished. Like, a fantastic example, my Asajj Ventress. I want to enter that into the 501st because I made sure I had that two detail, two specifications. I know it'll get approved. Technically, the outfit that I made is no longer canon. It's an art book design that was originally made for the Clone Wars series. She didn't actually wear it in the Clone Wars. So unless I make a huge chunk of alterations to match the Clone Wars version, she is no longer canon. And that sucks, but massively. And there are a lot of people who are in the 501st and in the Rebels who have these character costumes that are now no longer canon, which means they can no longer go out and troop with those people in those costumes. They have to update their stuff and get costumes or make costumes that now fit within the canon universe. And that's thousands of members that you just now screwed over.
It's not that they can't wear those costumes. They still can wear those costumes, but they will not be official 501st costumes, official 501st sanctioned. Mm-hmm. So you can wear them, you just can't wear them and, you know, have them be official at 501st events, for example, because they do a lot of charity work. Mm-hmm. And you have to have, you know, official sanctioned costumes to be part of that event.
Yes, so, I know that's a huge debate going on right now. It's what do we do with all of our members now? What do we do with the people that are just about to be members who have these costumes?
Plus, it's a ton of money and work. I mean, it's not just...
So much money dumped.
It's not just that it's, you know, okay, it's not canon, whatever. People have spent literally months and hundreds or thousands of dollars on these costumes mm-hmm. to make them perfect. Or as close to perfect as you can get without getting a movie replica costume. And it's like, they spent all of this to be legal. And now it's not.
And now it's not.
And so now I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to sit here, those who want to enter the 501st, for example, and I worry that they're going to go, well, what if LucasArts and Disney change their mind in the future? Why should I put all this time and money into making one of these great costumes if they're just going to declare it not legal later? I'm better off just not doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to discourage people from actually participating. And I think that's wrong.
It's definitely just so backwards on how they're approaching it. And again, I know the 501st, the Rebels, are not affiliated with Disney. They're not affiliated with Lucasfilm, none of that stuff. They're their own independent costuming source. But because they rely so heavily on what the studio does, it affects their rules and their membership and whatnot. And I highly doubt they're just going to boot people out because their costumes are no longer canon. I'm sure they'll let them still troop and whatnot, but it will affect a lot of future members who are looking for it. And I know for me, that means I have to completely redesign a 501st costume because this is not going to get accepted. This is a Rebel costume. This is not an Empire costume. And that sucks horribly. I love my Ventress costume, and it's no longer legal. That blows.
Right.
But mostly from a fan perspective, I feel so bad for the people who literally have lived and breathed Star Wars to create portions of the universe, and now those sections of the universe are just no longer valid. And it's like, okay, thanks. Here's entire video games that I spent years on that are no longer valid. Aww, sad face. So I don't know. Right now, the last thing that I read about it was Disney is going to be going through and will slowly add things back into the canon. But based off of their blanket rule of, no, this is not canon unless you're the movie, I don't think it's going to be very many.
Yeah. Which
is sad.
Sad.
It really is.
It's frustrating.
There are only 4 chicks in the freaking galaxy now. We used to have like hundreds. Now we're down to 4 again. The F is up
yeah.
with that.
And with certain characters being canon or not, I think people are going to be afraid to play them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, what's going to happen to characters like, you know, Asajj and Mara Jade?
Oh, Mara Jade no longer exists. She's no longer canon. She's completely out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that hurts a lot, because I know a lot of cosplayers that enjoy cosplaying Mara Jade.
She's the reason I got into the series. I love her to bits and pieces, and as far as I'm concerned, she's still in there. But yeah, she's no longer canon. Right now, there's only 4 chicks in the galaxy. It's Leia, it's her mom, Amidala, it's Asajj Ventress, and then it's Ahsoka from the Clone Wars series. That's it. 4 chicks.
Well,
no other women.
Nobody's going to cosplay Shmi, you know?
No, heck no.
So it really just kind of...
Yeah.
Star Wars universe just got a lot... what was it? Millions of voices were suddenly silent. Come on, you have to make the references in this after session.
Sorry, Alderaan. Oh,
millions
Lord.
Of costumes are suddenly silent.
And yes. Sadly, my favorite part of the Old Republic MMO is when you finally get to Alderaan, you have all of these really bad inside jokes about how the planet's going to blow up in 1,000 years. Yeah, it's so wrong. So depressing.
For those who have not seen our Facebook post today, Val found a really awesome Death Star, almost ball gown dress from a cosplayer. And it even lights up, which I
It even lights up. I almost posted another one. It was a Boba Fett dress where she had the helmet, but it was like this really beautiful ball gown. I was like, dang, that's awesome. But then I saw the Death Star and I was like, oh, Death Star is better. Click.
I would not be surprised to see steampunk finally make its way into that, especially with the Mandalorian armor. I could totally see that going steampunk.
There's definitely a couple of pieces. There's some steampunk stormtroopers out there, sure.
I have seen those, definitely. Steampunk Jedi, maybe not so much. The outfit just doesn't fit as well.
Yeah. Though it does have the browns going on.
True. I mean, you could go with leathers, because that satisfies both. But when you have to have the robe over it, it basically just covers everything, and it's like, wait, so you could put on all the steampunk you want, and then you can't see it.
And then you can't see any of it, yeah.
Which, eventually, I do want to make myself a Jedi costume, but it's not on my immediate list.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, I could be a dork, like all the other cosplayers, which I approve of, by the way, and wear it to the movie premiere.
Sure, absolutely.
Because you know they have those sorts of before parties?
Mm-hmm.
Where they basically sit there, they have little contest giveaways, they sometimes have special food, they have fan events.
Yeah.
If you come in costume. And it's like, yeah, Yeah, I could do that. It's like I always try and get a group together in Hobbit costume to go to the premiere of The Hobbit every year. Last year I couldn't go because I had finals the same night that The Hobbit came out, which really bummed me out. It's like, oh, man. I can try it with Star Wars this year. Well, Star Wars doesn't come out until next year, December 2015, but I can prepare for it. The Hobbit, the last one, comes out this year.
See, there you go. And hey, Gollum's going to be in Star Wars.
I know. I have to wonder, and there is a lot of speculation on the internet, if Andy Serkis will actually be a human being, or if he will be in a digital alien role, as he normally
is. Which is very possible for him.
Because in the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings movies, he was on screen as himself, as Smeagol, when he was a Hobbit. Like an actual, like, flesh and blood, not the desiccated, weird husk.
Right.
Like, he was on screen as himself. And unless you knew that that was him, you probably wouldn't have guessed it.
Exactly. You wouldn't have known.
So it's like, so what is he going to do in Star Wars? Is he going to be something like Jar Jar, but better, hopefully?
Hopefully. Maybe.
Or is he going to be in his own skin as himself? I don't know.
Don't knock the Jar Jar. A lot of kids like him.
I'm sure a lot of kids do like him. I have yet to find an adult that does.
I'm sure there's some out there.
And my big issue with Jar Jar is that while, you know, Gungans are fine and good, but to have Jar Jar as the representative of the Gungans, he's not very good comic relief.
Down. He did tone down immensely.
He did. He did. But he just kind of came across, as a bumbling fool.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why the heck would the Alliance put so much importance on a bumbling fool? Why would you do that? You're in a fight for your lives. You want good, solid people you can depend on. Or people, aliens, creatures, whatever. Gotta be all-inclusive.
Just to kind of kick people in the pants, I thought it was always hilarious how, one, it seemed like every now and then in the second movie, his face would turn to the camera and give this little wink like, yep, I'm still here. I'm still here to bug you guys. Ha ha. And, of course, he's the one who basically started the entire flippin' war. He gave power to the Chancellor, who was Emperor Palpatine. So he's the reason why the Empire exists.
So he is, in fact, the savior of the Empire.
Absolutely. Though it's interesting how in the end of the third movie, he just kind of disappears. We don't really know what happens to him. I've always been kind of curious about the legacy of Jar Jar afterwards, just because I'm curious. Not to say I've liked the character, but he just kind of disappeared. And it's like, where'd he go? Where'd he run off to? Did he realize, oh crap, I made a huge mistake, therefore I'm going to hide for the rest of my life?
Well, very possibly, although I have this sneaking suspicion, kind of tying this over the arc. J.J. Abrams tends to take a bit of a darker turn with his movies lately.
You think?
This is one of those franchises where it's very easy to do that. And so it would not surprise me if he started covering the themes of suicide, you know, execution, you know, very, very depressive kind of themes. And it's like, you know, if he would have directed that movie, I think Jar Jar would have tried to off himself.
Probably so, yeah.
Which, when you consider that there are kids watching Star Wars, it's hefty stuff. That would basically make it not a kids movie anymore.
You would bump it up to a PG-13 rating.
Oh, at least, if not R.
Eyebrows process.
Yeah, and I don't know if Disney's going to go to that point, because Disney has this reputation of being a very family-friendly firm. Say that three times fast.
Family-friendly firm.
And I think that if they went that direction, it would be a lot harder to maintain that reputation. He would give that movie some bite and some grit. That's not very Disney of them.
Which is why Disney has MGM, and they have outside studios that can make some of those grittier movies, like American Pie, for example. Hey, Disney produced American Pie. Keep that in mind, kids. So they do it through outside sources, so it's not directly tied to the Disney name. So I'm wondering if JJ is going to end up having to tone it down just a smidge, because he understands and he gets it that this is meant for kids, too. He wants kids to enjoy it. So I think he'll be toning it down at least a little bit. I'm sure some of them will get a PG-13 rating, because Revenge of the Sith did get a PG-13 on it. I mean, that last action sequence is pretty brutal when Vader gets all burned up. I mean, the fact that they showed him getting burned up is a little much for them. So I think he can tone it down.
Yes.
Amber's busy. Amber's busy.
Well, Amber is multitasking. Yes.
Yes.
But I'm sitting there going, that's J.J. Abrams. He's going to make him a boatload of money no matter what he does. So I think Disney's going to give him pretty free rein to do it.
I'm sure there's still restrictions. It is Disney, so. Who was I talking to the other day? Somebody made a comment that, you know, Disney's not going to drop $4 billion and make really crappy movies. And then I started listing out a string of the really horrible Disney movies over the last 10 years. Yay, you know. Just because Disney throws money at something does not magically make it fantastic. They have done some really crappy things, too, and it's just part of the process. Things work, things don't work. You can't really find a happy medium, so.
I think that's what they're going to have to do if they want to keep their reputation as family-friendly.
They'll have to somehow.
So, do you think this will inspire a whole bunch of new cosplay when it comes out?
I don't know. I want to be optimistic, but I don't know. My heart's still, my heart's just kind of broken that Disney is breaking apart so many things, and it's just like, my old Star Wars.
Dare we say ruining?
I don't want to say ruining. I really don't, but they're definitely taking a legacy and they're tearing it apart. And I think they're doing it so they can start their own canon and go their own route, which, okay, fine, but.
Fair enough.
The one thing that I've always loved and respected about George Lucas, even though he's kind of become an empire of his own, is how much he's given back to the fans. He's always told the fans, hey, here's my content. You want to make fan movies? Go for it. You want to do your own thing? Go for it. Here are all the tools. Feel free to play in my playground. And he's always supported that. And I've always really appreciated that fact. So now that it's kind of turned its head and Disney owns it and Disney's like, nope, we're not doing this anymore. We cannot play in our playground. It's just like, ah!
They're a lot more controlling, which I give Lucas a heck of a lot of props because he has his own educational foundation.
Mm-hmm.
He does scholarships for students who are trying to learn the arts, mm-hmm. who are trying to get a career in that industry. And I really give him kudos for that. And I know that he also sponsors internships at ILM.
Yep.
Industrial Light and Magic, for those who don't know. It's Lucas's effects company, the one who does all the effects for his movies. He has his own private studio for that.
And a heck of a ton of other movies now, too.
Yes, they do hire out now, kind of like Weta does for mm-hmm. prop making and creature prosthetics. Now ILM hires out to other studios. But it's all very educational inclusive. It's not meant to just be a business. You know, it's bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that aspect of it.
He's always been really supportive of kids and getting people out there and learning about the arts. And I always thought it was really cool that when he initially sold off the company to Disney, he ended up taking half of those funds to put it towards education and put it towards, you know, these other resources, which is like, that's fantastic. That's what needs to be done. Because we don't really have a whole lot of opportunities still, surprisingly.
Indeed, I approve. Yeah, and I just kind of want to say that on the science wavelength, that we are getting closer to building actual lightsabers.
I know, we're slowly getting there. There's the one that I saw this morning where they did holograms. It's really flipping cool. We're getting really closer to the point where a hologram for television is probably going to happen within the next decade. How awesome is that?
They've actually found what they're calling the lightsaber particle.
Awesome.
Where it's a laser particle where it or a light particle shot from a laser that basically goes out and then reflects back. And they're saying it may still be a while before we can actually build a prototypical lightsaber. But yeah, this is it. We found it. This is the stuff.
It exists.
Like, yes. Chalk one up for science, and then chalk one up for realistic cosplay.
But even some common things that we don't think about anymore, like prosthetics, if you lost your hand or a part of your arm or something, now that they have working, moving prosthetics that you can actually have connected to your nervous system so you can touch, so you can feel again, that stuff didn't happen until Star Wars came to everybody's mind. And it's like, man, things movies can do for us.
It's a lot like Star Trek, where Roddenberry was a visionary.
Absolutely.
And period. That is not disputed.
Lucas was
a visionary.
Bar
none. Whether we like it or not, he predicted a lot of things that we have now. And yes, we don't necessarily have X-Wing fighters, but we already have private companies like SpaceX building reusable spacecraft and testing it. So we're well on our way. And even as far as losing limbs and having prosthetics, now they have 3D printing where they can grow it back onto your body with your own cells.
Yep.
All they have to do is print a framework and then basically seed it with your own cells and DNA, and it just grows. It grows back so that your body doesn't reject it because it's your own flesh on the frame.
And how cool is that?
You know, we live in an amazing age. Yeah, it is awesome.
It is so cool. Oh my goodness.
And I like that, you know, to bring up the article on CNN they had the other day that basically said Star Wars is a terrible sci-fi movie because it isn't deep, because it doesn't make you think, and because it's very kitschy. But it's like, okay, this author in the article, and I'll link it in the notes, was comparing it to things like Isaac Asimov, Carl Sagan's writings, things like Dune, things like Ender's Game, and it's like, Star Wars has its own depth. Just because the movies were a little bit kitschy doesn't necessarily mean that the story itself is kitschy.
Yeah,
in the books, it's not.
Yeah.
And you can't really knock it for being bad sci-fi for that, and look at how much inspiration it has given people, even the kitschy movie.
Exactly.
We wouldn't be in a lot of where we are with NASA. I mean, if you look at it, Star Wars didn't come out that long after we landed on the moon. And I have a feeling that the movies Star Wars, the movies plural, were kind of partially meant to inspire that imagination in people that, you know, if we can imagine going to the moon, what else can we imagine? What else can we do? And the movies are kind of meant to push us toward that so that we keep progressing. It's not just all fun and games. It's meant to make you think. You know, terrible animation or no.
It was fantastic for its time.
That is true. And if you still get your hand, if you can get your hands on the old recordings before they cleaned it all up recently, when they re-released them and they cleaned everything up digitally.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty cool.
The old ones, they're still pretty darn good.
Especially knowing that they're models, it's like, dang, okay.
I mean, yes, we know that they smeared Vaseline on the camera lens to make the bottom of the speeders go away.
In Tatooine, yeah, that's funny.
And, yes, that is kind of corny, but at the same time, it got the job done. And at the time, they didn't have the technology that we currently have where they can just digitally erase it.
It, you know what? They did it just right that it almost looked like it was intentional, like it's kicking up dust underneath the speeder. So I was like, hey, it works. It's great.
And we have, you know, we have built prototype small hovercraft already.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have built jetpacks that work. Granted, these aren't necessarily for commercial sale yet, or I think people would be, you know, no longer using roads. But we have built these things. And, you know, it's because geeks want to take their favorite movies and bring them to life, which I don't blame them for. How many people have spent their time trying to build a functional lightsaber? I mean, come on.
Oh, goodness. But since you said that, it reminded me of a quote. A couple of months after the original Star Wars release, George Lucas did an interview about the movies, and he said that he wanted to use it as inspiration for kids. And he hopes that one day when he's 93 years old and he sees the first man walk on Mars, that the guy says, you know what, I did this because I wanted to see if there were Wookiees up here. And it's like, how awesome would that be? I mean, I can't imagine how many tens of thousands of kids he's probably inspired to get into technology and into NASA and stuff like that. I mean, how cool. How can you not love that? It's cool being a geek.
It is, and I really wish that we hadn't slashed NASA funding.
I know, that broke
my heart. So that we can do things like that, so that we can go to Mars and go look for Wookiees or other life sources. Yes, I know we have spirit over there, and we have opportunity over there.
Mm.
But it's not quite the same having a mechanical rover as having a human being.
Is there just something about even just sending man back to the moon again? There's just something about that awe and that spectacle to say, as Amber coughs her heads off, allergies. Oh, goodness.
Food went down the wrong way.
Oh.
Excuse me. Sorry, guys. I'm also trying to eat a little bit of lunch while I'm doing this.
Oh, my goodness.
It's one of those, I have a busy, busy weekend where I'm like, stuff, no break.
And we're doing a double video over the weekend, which is very rare for us. It's like, ah!
Plus, we're frantically preparing for other conventions because Dallas Comic Con is coming up. Not next weekend, but the weekend after.
And after.
Project A-Con is 3 weeks after that. And we're just doing frantic prep for everything all at the same time. Plus, we're doing podcast stuff. And
yep.
Then it's Mother's Day, so I have to, you know, do something for that as well. And it's like, I have no time. This is like I'm at a convention, and you have to make time to eat.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yes, you can ignore your body's needs all day, and you can try and man up and just go the entire day without eating. No. Just take 5 minutes to eat a granola bar. I mean, I'm sitting here noshing on mashed potatoes just because it was quick. You know, eat a granola bar, eat some fruit snacks, drink some Gatorade. Just take care
of
yourself.
That's what we do.
And this goes for people in costume, too, which, speaking of costumes and taking care of yourself, Stormtrooper costumes have gotten insanely complicated.
Yeah.
Since they started.
Very.
And, you know, they have everything from cooling fans in them to voiceover communication systems that are enabled by Bluetooth so that now they can communicate with each other. They sometimes have liquid cooling systems in them now, and some of them are starting to build full-on electronics in there to either move parts or have things glow or make sound effects or what have you. And it's amazing. These little things that are made out of plastic have all these complicated parts, and you'd never know it from looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
From the outside.
That's so cool. It's like whenever you have the opportunity and you go up to a stormtrooper, ask them to take off their helmet so you can see the inside, because it's just really cool to see all the stuff hooked up together, and you're just like, whoa. And they still get hot, and they still have to take breaks.
Oh, they,
poor
definitely.
Guys.
I mean, they'll eventually start building camel packs into them. So that they can hydrate
Pretty
in their
much.
Helmet. They'll have the tubes going through the breathing tubes instead.
I think some of the TIE fighter pilots do that because of the way that their helmets are shaped. It's a little bit easier to hide those versus the stormtrooper one. So, yeah.
Right. I fully anticipate they'll do things like that so that
it's
extra comfort. And, of course, when stormtroopers take off their costumes, it fits in a suitcase, man. That is freaking awesome. It all fits inside itself clamshell style.
Yeah, exactly. It's just perfectly storage seal. Good to go.
It's like, oh, why can't all my costumes be like that? I want all my costumes to be modular, where I can just take them all apart, clamshell style, stick them all together, fit them in a case and then just go. And then I don't have to worry about durability because it's plastic.
It's plastic.
Nothing will happen to it except maybe get scratched, which you can always repair with friendly plastic. Or with
you can say battle damage.
Styrene cement. That too. It's like, man, why can't all my costumes be like that?
Exactly. The only thing that still sucks, and I get told by this by every Stormtrooper, is the footwear. The footwear is still craptacular. The boots that they have for the movies were just terrible all around, so be prepared for uncomfortable footwear if you ever don the Stormtrooper or any of the TIE Fighters or any of the Rebels. Yeah, worst footwear ever. They did not think those through at all.
And the reason it's uncomfortable and why they choose to wear it that way is because it is screen accurate.
Accurate, exactly. You can wear foot pads.
Yes, you can. But if you want it to be approved or sanctioned, then you have to make it, just like they did in the movies, uncomfortable.
Yep.
Which is terrible.
Which sucks, which is why I never wear my boots for Ventress unless it's for photos, because those are so uncomfortable. I hate them. Hate them so much. That's worth it. Gets kids to smile, so. Eh.
True, and that's, it's one of the things that I think kids will forever recognize, new movies or not, is they will recognize Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Even if they haven't seen it, they just instantly know, and they flock to it. So cool.
It's like, what color do you want your lightsaber to be?
Exactly. We got multitudes now. I'm trying to think now. Okay, so the white one is no longer canon. You can't do the black one anymore. Can't do the black-yellow one anymore. But the rest of them should be okay. I had to think this through. Hang on, there are certain colors that are no longer canon.
Oh, and I would have taken I totally would have taken a white lightsaber, too.
I figured you would have. I like the purple ones.
Mine's either going to be white or blue. Take your pick. Or yeah. Some shade in between the two.
I like my reds and I like my purples.
Well, we kind of knew that you liked your reds. But is it single or double?
See, that depends. I've always been a fan of the double because the double is great for defensive, and I've always been a defensive back-of-the-line person in any type of game that I'm playing. Usually I'm the healer. So for me, being on a defensive position, the double-bladed definitely helps. Single-bladed is best for offensive.
See, I want two single blades. Split.
Yeah. That takes a lot more. Yeah. It's a lot harder to train with those and use those properly. Those are a butt to manage. But when you learn the basics for it, it's actually a lot of fun.
Lightsaber fight!
One day with real lightsabers, oh, that could be bad.
No. Let's not do it with real lightsabers.
No. We can use my fakey ones. My fakey ones are combat ready.
Yes. Which I watched the behind the scenes of when they did the Duel of the Fates in the first trilogy. And I noticed that they practiced with effectively plastic sabers.
Yep.
And they went clack, clack, clack when you hit them against each other. They didn't light up, nothing fancy. I don't even know if they had the hilts proper. They practiced and they had like clear blades like this.
Basically, yeah.
And they used those to do the choreography first.
Mm-hmm. All that's just digitally added in later.
It's like, man, if you get hit with one of those, it still hurts.
It still hurts like a mofo. You better be accurate and on target.
Yeah, because you start out slow, but eventually to do it movie speed, you have to work up to it and go fast.
Mm-hmm.
And mistakes are made.
Oh, yeah. And I know that when it comes to the other guys, Ray Park is a trained martial artist, so for him, it was very quick for him to pick up and get into it, so he actually had to slow himself down to catch up with everybody else. And I was like, oh, poor Ray. Which is why Ray Park has cooler moves, because he actually knew what he was doing.
Well, he can also do those sorts of things, but I think they don't have as much to worry about now that they have stunt doubles, because they can get stunt doubles that are capable of doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ray Park did a lot of his own stunts, though.
He did. He did, yeah. When I had my lovely 15-minute chat with him last year at Dallas Comic Con. Very pleasant man to talk to, by the way. If you ever get a chance to meet Ray Park, who is Darth Maul, do it, because he is an awesome human being, and he's just so damn nice to his fans. If it helps, he was also Toad in the X-Men movies, and he was in the G.I. Joe movies, too. But yeah, he said he did all of his stunts in that movie, and he just had no problem, because for him, it was like, oh, I do this stuff all the time. I'll just do it in my full makeup. No problem.
There you go.
There you go. Realism to the max. Or as real as it can be.
I dig it.
All right, my dear. It's almost 12:30. We've been at this for almost an hour.
Yep.
I've got nothing else. I've vented. That was my thing. I needed to vent.
You are ventressed out? Yeah, I try.
I feel bad for my creative friends, because they put so much love into the series, and they were like, I did something for Star Wars, and then it got taken away. And it's like, crap. I'm hoping that Disney goes back and at least makes some of the video games canon again. Because there's just certain ones that are just synonymous with Star Wars, like the original TIE Fighter and X-Wing. It's like, how can those not be canon anymore? I mean, they came straight from Lucas himself. His hands were actually on those games. They need to be canon again. I mean, exactly.
Well, fans, if you want Disney to make your favorite part of the media empire canon, feel free to start a petition to Disney.
Yeah. Disney, quit being stupid. Take it all back. I'm sorry, Disney. I still heart you, and I plan to dress up as a villain from one of your movies next year, but... Star Wars fan
Disney,
here.
Not a sponsor of this show.
No. If they were, I'd probably get paid a lot more money. I would wear Mulan all the time.
All right, listeners. Well, we hope you have enjoyed this Star Wars-filled after session. As always, you can contact us via any of our social media if you have questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, or just want to talk to us about Star Wars or anything else geeky. And our email address is podcast@cospod.org, or you can find us on Twitter, DeviantArt, YouTube. You can just Google us now, and I think we're almost the entire first page of results, which is fantastic.
I'm Googling us. Hang on. Cospod. We are all of the first page. We are a good chunk of the second page.
There you go. So if you Google us,
and the third page.
You can find us on the internets now.
We are all over the place.
Yes, and we sincerely are grateful for being this popular that you can do that.
Makes us all happy, pants.
Yep. Why the heck did that start again?
Uh-oh. What did you do? What did you do?
Oh, I was... I'll stop the recording. And I'll tell you in a second.
Uh-oh.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys!